What is up, guys? Welcome to episode number 142 of Beef's Beef. Today, I got one of my good buddies, John Wilmot, joining the show. But before that, I wanted to talk about my sponsors that I have. Two great sponsors. We have Crystal Lackey at Stockton Mortgage. Crystal Lackey is your person to hit up if you have any refinancing, home loan needs, anything you need in that spectrum. Make sure you hit her up. You can get in contact with her at 502-615-0743. Again, it's 502-615-0743. Crystal Lackey at Stockton Mortgage. Stockton Mortgage is an equal housing lender. MLS number 8259. Crystal Lackey, MLS number 1735979. And I can't have an episode without congratulating her and Trey on their announcement of their baby boy that is due in 2021. So congratulations, guys. I'm happy for you all. Can't wait to meet them. Secondly, we have Dellium Clothing. Again, that's Dellium Clothing. My friend Isaac Thomas doing big things. Dellium Clothing is pronounced Dellium, even though there's a B in the front. You know, Dellium is men's and women's minimalistic brand that focuses on modern aesthetic and quality. Everything comes pre-shrunk and ready to wear, and you can actually find his men's line now at Him Gentleman's Boutique in New Albany. You can find them on Facebook at Dellium Clothing and on Instagram at Dellium Clothing. Again, that's Dellium. So, like I said, I have my buddy John Wilmot on today. Not a celebrity, but one of my good buddies. It's funny because I have people hit me up all the time and say, hey, I need to be on your podcast. Hey, I need to be on your podcast. And I always hit them back with, okay, what will we talk about? And so if this is something that you want to do, that you want to come on my podcast, you give me something that we're going to talk about. Okay. So I hit him back with that. He hit me back with a few things that we can talk about. So we're going to do an episode today together. This is his first time doing an episode, I believe. I don't think he's done any type of interviews. If he has, he hasn't told me about it. So we'll see how he does. So without further ado, John Wilmot. What's up, John? Welcome to the podcast, man.
Thanks, man. Glad to be here. Glad you had me.
For sure. So I told everybody in the intro, you know, people always say, hey, you know, you should have me on your podcast, but you're the only person that when I've hit them back with that response that has actually given me something they want to talk about.
Yeah, man. I mean, we've known each other for, you know, a few years now, and it's not that we are opposing sides. It's just we have a lot of different opinions on certain things, and then there's certain things that we, you know, we both ride the same lot on. So I think it's a good dynamic to have conversation with.
So one thing that we do have opposing opinions on is our favorite college team. But if there's one thing that I feel like I am good at doing is giving credit when credit is due. And the biggest thing here lately is the Black Lives Matter movement, which some people consider political. You and I don't look at it that way. And I'm glad to see that the Kentucky basketball team has stepped up and put out a video, I think it was 2 or 3 days ago, talking about the Black Lives Matter movement.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great thing to do, especially in the climate that we have today, you know, to have those, you know, college kids and the returning member like Keon, you know, come in there and say, you know, how this sort of movement, you know, impacts them and helps them, you know, become closer as a unit and closer as friends, closer as people that are having the same ideals. And the fact that Cal, you know, supported that and wanted to be a part of it as well, I think just shows, you know, people that it doesn't matter where your, you know, where your mindset lies. Like the UK, and I'm sure Louisville will do it at some point in time, and probably a lot of other colleges, if not all of them, are going to put their foot in that sand and move towards, you know, standing for the right things.
Well, it blows my mind that every college isn't like this already, because you're already making a living off of the backs of the African-American community for the most part, for free. I mean, you're essentially using them for free labor, and then now you're not going to stand up for them in a time when, in my lifetime at least, that they need us the most.
Yeah, especially in our lifetime. Like the closest thing that, you know, has come to this in recent memory, and it's not even like recent to where like I was coherent of it was like the, you know, the OJ Rodney King era. And that was when I was a, you know, a toddler. That didn't even impact me at all. And I didn't know about that stuff really until a couple, maybe 5 years ago when I started, you know, listening to my dad talk about it. And, you know, of course the OJ show came on TV and, you know, LA 92 with, you know, the Rodney King stuff. Like none of that stuff crossed my mind until I was shown it, you know, and then now it's blatantly in our faces every single day.
For sure. What's crazy, man, is I've always been the type of person, or not the type of person, I've always been a person that has disliked Matt Jones. And the other
you're
night,
not alone. You're not alone.
Yeah, and I feel like it's warranted for our fan base to dislike Matt Jones. I think that's what he wants us to do. I don't think it's something that he wants us to like him. So I don't really think that he minds it.
Yeah, but no, I don't think he does either.
The other day, I actually had to retweet him in something because when someone's right, like I said, you got to give credit where it's due. And he made a statement that said, when Kentucky players say Black Lives Matter, you know what they mean. They literally mean their lives matter. When you then respond by talking about Marxism and socialist groups, you are the one making it politics. They are just saying Black Lives Matter, period.
Facts.
And I don't want this to sound like – because the response – by Kentucky's fan base has been absolutely terrible. I screenshotted a lot of it. I don't really
majority.
I don't want to read most of them. I may read a couple, but I told you this. This is not just a Kentucky fan base thing. I think some people in our fan base are looking at it as, oh, well, you know, typical Kentucky fans, just racist and all that stuff. Here's the thing, man. Our fans have done the same thing. Louisville released a picture. It's actually my header on my Facebook page stating we stand with Black Lives. And
wasn't it on
stuff.
The football field?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's on the football field. A lot of our fans were like, oh, I'm not renewing my season tickets. You took a stance with it. It's not – like, I'm tired of seeing that. And I'm glad to see coaches like Satterfield and Calipari, and I've seen other coaches do it. I don't want to forget other names, but I'm glad to see them make a stance and actually – like you said, put their foot in the stand and say, this is where we're standing, and I don't care what anybody else says.
Well, especially with what you said, it's like it's not that they've been, you know, making a living off of the backs of all African-Americans for, you know, however long. But think of all the athletes that are now in pro sports that didn't make a dime that we know of in college. You know, there's tons of them. Look at Cam Newton, for an example, you know, what he did at Auburn. Look at Mark Ingram. Look at, you know, there's tons of them just for the NFL and the NBA. Look at tons of Kentucky players that they got all kind of grief for being one and done. So it's because that's what, like, Calipari wanted to help them. And I'm sure other coaches like Coach K and, you know, I'm sure Mac will do the same thing. It's like they just want to help their kids that they're coaching become better humans, better individuals, and standing for this, especially in this moment, is just going to, you know, skyrocket that whole process.
So I'm glad to see coaches taking a stance on it. I'm interested to see how it's going to end up in the future, and see, you know, what other things come from it. I feel like it can do nothing but good because it's going to out the ones that don't need to be there, and it's going to bring to light the ones that should.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's exactly what it's going to do. Hopefully it'll weed out the ones that don't really need to have a quote-unquote voice, you know?
Yeah.
The opposite of what needs to happen right now.
So on a lighter note, somebody that I would associate with Louisville because he does so much stuff with not only the city but the university, you know, is a self-proclaimed Louisville fan, Jack Harlow, man, blowing up.
Yeah, dude, he's been blowing up ever since I first started listening to him probably – what is 2020? I probably started listening to him in 2016, probably 2015.
I was around there. Yeah, when he was still in high school at Atherton. I listened to a little bit of his stuff. And then, you know, he's just kind of blown up here in the past year and a half. It was really pretty much ever since that freestyle on Sway when he talked about him and Sahai the Prince and stuff. When he talked about being, you know, stamped by Sahai the Prince, that was kind of when he blew up, and that freestyle he did was nasty.
But yeah, and then DJ Drama caught him, like, it was like, this is the kid, you know, like, he needs to do something.
So, he he puts out a tweet the other day and says, hey, I'm performing on the VMAs tonight. It's like, oh, that's awesome. It's 6:30. When it comes out, and he doesn't just perform on the VMAs, he performs in – because everything's so recorded now because of COVID-19, mm-hmm. he does his recording inside the Yum Center.
Which I think is amazing. The fact that that's the one thing about Jack that I even being, you know, not a Louisville fan, I still love the area, you know, just not the sports, you know, not a whatever. But that's the thing about Jack is he's always never straight, almost in every tape or every video he puts out, it's something to do with Louisville. He doesn't let that slide. You know what I'm saying? Wearing yeah. a Louisville jacket or shooting a video in Louisville. He shot almost all of his videos in Louisville before he got What's Poppin' was out. And I don't know, I think What's Poppin' might have been in Louisville or it was in Atlanta, one of the two. But he's always repping Louisville. Yeah. And the fact that he did it in, like, the Yum Center, especially for, like, the VMA. I think it was the opener of the VMAs, too. It's not the one after the opener.
I know it was early because he said it was noon at 6:30. I wouldn't think it would start that or I wouldn't think it would start that late.
Yeah. No, I think it probably was the opener.
I know you crapped on him the other day, but did you see the weekend's performance in the VMAs?
I did not, but I guess after this, I'll go watch
it. I'll send it to you because you can say what you want. The performance was unreal because he does it on top of a building in New York.
I don't necessarily hate him, but you can't deny that his new stuff sounds like 80s electro. It sounds like the first time I heard Blinding Lights, I literally thought
well, see,
it was Flock of Seagulls.
I'm gonna go ahead and do something to you here because I know you would do this to me. You gotta stop just listening to his radio stuff and listen to the entire album.
Yeah, I know. That's what I've been heard too. What was that yeah. song? What was that song he put out? I love Call Out My Name just because.
Well, that's not on this album. That's actually on My Dear Melancholy.
Yeah, it was like his last the album before this recent one, right?
Or yeah, that's EP. It was an EP.
It was five songs.
But if you listen to the rest of his album, he has some songs that are like that, but for the most part, it's The Weeknd. And
yeah,
I mean, it goes to the thing with every, you know, artist, they got to put out something that's going to make them put them on the radio so that other people will listen to their entire album.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. Like I said, I don't listen to the radio that often, but when I did and I heard that song, I started off, what is this? This sounds like retro. And then I heard The Weeknd's voice, and I was like, what the? What?
Yeah.
I was like, what? What year is this?
So the NFL starting here in a couple of weeks. I think it's not this weekend coming up, the weekend after. It's no secret I'm a New England Patriots fan. I don't care how much.
Are you in a fantasy league this year?
I'm in one. I usually run one. I don't really know how that's going to go. I don't know if I'm going to do it or not. I don't know. I guess we'll see. But today, by no surprise, the Patriots named Cam Newton a starter.
Yeah.
Something that did surprise me though was that not only did they name him a starter, they named him a captain.
I saw that too. I don't know the relevance of this, but why did they wait so long to say that when they signed him, didn't everybody just automatically assume that he was going
to
be a starter?
Well, everyone assumed it, but you know Belichick, man. He ain't going to just give anything to you. He's going to make you work for it.
Yeah.
And he told Cam, he was like, look, I'm going to give you the same amount of reps I'm going to give Stidham and Hoyer, and you three are going to battle it out for the number one quarterback position. Everyone kind of figured that Cam was going to get it because you've seen all offseason, even before he signed with New England on his Instagram and Twitter, dude's been working his tail off. So it's not like the dude wasn't healthy, and it's not like the dude wasn't ready. So you knew that if Cam Newton was 100% healthy and ready, I mean, dude won the MVP.
Yeah.
The guy's, I think, 30 years old. He's still got a lot left in the tank, and I'm excited to see him in a New England jersey.
I think it'll be a good fit. I think especially if he, you know, Belichick just – and I hate the Patriots, especially with Belichick Tom Brady combo, just because it was almost unfair. You know, it's like a Shaq Kobe combo. It's almost unfair. But I mean, Belichick's a genius when it comes to that sort of stuff. And I think if Cam sits back and listens, I think that it's a recipe for success. He can't pass it yet. I mean, it's going to be good if he just does. If they both cohesively work together, I don't think you can go wrong.
So speaking on the NFL some more, an announcement yesterday was Leonard Fournette has signed with the Bucks.
Just give Tom. Tom Brady at this point is Thanos. I saw a meme for it earlier, and he really is. What's he got? put it on a hand. You got Gronk.
Well, here, I'll go ahead and pull it up for you here. I'll share my screen with you so you can see it.
He's got Gronk, now Fortinet.
So here's their depth chart. You have Ronald Jones, Leonard Fournette, LeSean McCoy, which I've forgotten that they even gotten LeSean McCoy. You have Mike Evans, and Chris Godwin. Rob Gronkowski, O.J. Howard, Cameron Brate. And then defensively, you have Namagusu. You have Jason Pierre-Paul, Shaquille Barrett. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of weapons there. But I'm going to go ahead and say this. And people can say I'm just a hater because he doesn't play for New England anymore. They will not win their division.
Who else in their division? I don't keep up with NFL that much. I just, you know.
Their division has Carolina. I believe. I don't want to mess this up.
Yeah, that's fair.
Let's look at their division here. Home. Carolina, Atlanta, New Orleans.
I mean, Carolina's probably going to be good with Teddy. I don't know if they're going to be, you know.
I think you'll have three teams out of that division make the playoffs. I don't think Carolina will be better than Tampa. I'm not going to go that biased and say that because of Teddy. But yeah. I do think that New Orleans will win the division.
Even if they lose Kamara?
No. No, if they lose him, they will not win the division. That I won't go that far out on that limb. No, if they lose him, I will not say that. But I do think with the current roster that they have, that I am going to predict that the Saints will win that division. I think the Saints are the favorite in the NFC, in my opinion. I think it's going to be a Saints Chiefs.
The Saints are good. I don't think they're going to be bad. I don't see the point in them losing Kamara because he left practice for what, 3 days.
He was holding out for contract reasons. So they haven't said for sure. I mean, again, that was just a report that they were open to trading him. So we don't know that for sure. Again, that was just a report. But they did. There was reports out that after he was starting to hold out for his contract, that they were open to trading him.
I swear, I don't know. I mean, where could he go? I mean, there's tons of places he could go that would want him.
Yeah, I think there's a team up in New England that would want him. I don't think we would turn him away for sure.
Oh, for sure. I don't think you turn him away either. I just can't believe that New Orleans is going to get rid of him.
It remains to be seen. We'll see. I don't believe the reports. I think it's them just trying to light a fire under him to say, hey, look, you know, we're willing to trade you, but they're not really looking to trade him. That guy's the biggest asset outside of Michael Thomas to their team. I mean, you got Drew Brees, who's already getting older. Mm-hmm. And you wonder how much of his comments are going to – that's the only thing I'll say I'll worry about predicting them to win their division is, did his comments
– Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Did his comments separate the locker room too much?
I remember Michael Thomas saying that he talked to him, you know, kind of cooled his head off or whatever. But, I mean, that's a good point.
Yeah, so moving forward, the NBA bubble to me has been one of the most fun things, and I'll say it's surprisingly fun. I didn't expect it to be this good without fans, but it's like a big NBA AAU. It's been so much fun. Started out with Lou Williams skipping town and going to the strip club with Jack Harlow.
This is amazing.
But you've had so many great first-round matchups. You had the Denver
– the Denver Jazz matchup was unprecedented.
And I want to read a stat here that I pulled up this picture. So you being a UK fan, myself being a Louisville fan, it was great to see Jamal Murray pretty much against Donovan Mitchell.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome, back and forth.
Jamal Murray and Donovan Mitchell combined to score 475 points in the Nuggets-Jazz series. That is the most combined points by opposing players in a series in NBA history.
That's insane.
That's crazy.
I feel like didn't Jamal have like 250s and Donovan either had two or three?
So Donovan set a record was one of three players to get 50 points in two different games in an NBA playoff series. And then Jamal Murray also joined that club two games later in game six. So both of them in this series joined the club. It's those two Allen Iverson, Michael Jordan, and I think maybe Wilt Chamberlain.
Watching the games, watching them go back and forth like that, like almost it wasn't exactly, but almost bucket for bucket. It's insane.
Yeah, I mean, game one, you had Donovan score, what, 57 in a loss?
Yeah, which sucks. It's a heartbreaker to score that much, to be that much of a bamf and not win the game.
Yeah, score 57 in a loss is insane to think about. And what's crazy, man, is you think back to when he was at Louisville. Donovan Mitchell was definitely a solid player, but this just – it's crazy how far he's come in the NBA. Look, as a Louisville fan, I never expected it for him to be this good, especially this quick.
Yeah, I mean – I didn't think that he was going to be like, because he was what, this close to Rookie of the Year before Ben Simmons?
Yeah, he would have had Rookie of the Year had not been Ben Simmons.
I still can't believe Ben Simmons won that. The fact that, and I got, you know, this hurts me to say, not because of, you know, him being a great player, but because of me being a UK fan, I have a Donovan Mitchell Jazz jersey.
Nice. Yeah, that's good to hear. I mean, there's definitely UK players that I like in the NBA now that they don't play for UK. I like Anthony Davis. I do like Anthony Davis. I like John Wall. I like John Wall. There's certain players I still dislike, though, because they played for UK. But that's,
I don't know. I hope John Wall gets healthy.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see that Wizards team with him and Rui and Bradley Beal and them all actually be healthy. I'd like to see that young core and see what could happen. Yeah, I don't know if we're ever going to see Wall healthy again, though.
Yeah, I don't know if we're ever going to see Wall, Bradley, and Rudy Blair together.
Yeah. So, other first-round matchups, you had Miami at, in Indiana. Miami is on fire right now. They're up 2-0.
Miami's looking good. Jimmy Buckets out there getting buckets.
The end of that game last night, man, was insane. You had Chris Middleton get fouled on the three with 9 seconds left, and then you have Jimmy Butler get fouled with no time left on the clock.
No time left. Yeah,
and hit 2 free throws, just ice in his veins, and win the game for him. Another first round series, which started out fantastic with Damian Lillard and the Portland Trail Blazers playing the Los Angeles Lakers. You thought that after game one, you thought they were going to give them a good series, but man,
you thought
just with how much Dame and that Portland team really put into getting into the playoffs, man, they just got gassed. After the third game, you could just tell, like, they just had no legs.
Well, I remember watching or listening, not watching, but listening to Shannon and Skip, and Shannon was, like, going, you know, talking about Dame, and he's like, what more can this man do? He's putting up an average of 37 in the last 6 games, and they were doing it at that point back to back to back. There was no in-between days. Well, Dame's gassed, bro. And CJ was playing with a spinal fracture or whatever was wrong with his back.
Yeah. And then you have
– it was insane.
You have Nurkic who's playing all those minutes with a big body, and then he loses his grandmother as well.
I mean, it's got to take a toll.
Yeah, everything was just taking a toll. Melo played his tail off, though. I love Melo. I know a lot of people –
the fact people said he was washed, like Kellerman and other people said he was washed, is beyond insanity to me.
Yeah. I mean, I think they saw that he's not.
I would hope.
Yeah, so the other series that I think was everyone's favorite series in the first round was the Clippers-Mavericks series.
Until KP got hurt.
Yeah, I mean, that series was – I mean, you had a little bit of animosity with I think it's Markieff Morris. It's Marcus Morris that plays for the Clippers.
Yeah, it was Marcus Morris, yeah.
Looking like he's trying to hurt Luka a couple times. Mm-hmm. You have the technical foul that kicked out KP, and that was actually the last time we saw him in a series, I believe.
First game, wasn't it?
No, that was because the Mavericks, I believe, won the first game. This was game two, and I think they probably would have won game two had he not been kicked out.
Yeah, they definitely probably would have won if he hadn't been kicked out of the game and I rewatched that foul so many times. Like, wasn't even a foul that he got kicked out for. He got kicked out for pushing Marquise Morris, didn't he?
Yeah, Marcus, which is crazy because Marcus Morris choked him.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people don't talk about.
He was going after Luka.
Yeah. He put his hand around his neck and everything.
And he was going after his star player, especially since they're both of different nationality. Like, they connect in that way, too, as well as being teammates. So like, sure. he's not going to let that happen, you know?
Yeah. So I'm excited for the future of that Mavericks team. I do think they need one more piece. I don't know where they'll get it. There is a free agent that's up in Milwaukee. I don't know if he would want to join that team though. That would be insane if you put Giannis with Luka and KP.
They're thinking Giannis might go to the Heat, which is insane to me. It's almost a Kevin Durant thing if it turns out the way it's going, you know?
There's a lot of places that they keep mentioning. I keep hearing Golden State, which would just make me hate him as a player. I don't like Golden State.
I love Golden State, but I don't want to see Giannis go. That's not fair.
Yeah, so there's I'm excited for these second round matchups though. The Lakers series starts tonight. The Clippers series starts tonight. Or the Lakers series starts tomorrow. The Clippers series starts tonight.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You're good. And it's so, Clippers and Nuggets, right?
Yeah, Clippers Nuggets start tonight, which I'm excited to see that because I think what ended up putting Denver over the hump was Gary Harris coming back. Harris came back in game six and it opened up the floor for Yes. It opened up the floor for Jamal Murray, which led Jamal Murray to get that 50-point game. Not to say that Jamal Murray needed him, but when you have another shooter and another scorer, it takes a little bit of attention off of you and opens up the floor for yourself. So,
oh, for sure.
I am excited to see what will happen in the second round. You have Boston up 2-0 on Toronto already. You have Miami up 2-0 on Milwaukee already. And then you have the two L.A. series is starting. It's going to be fun, man. I'm very, very excited for the rest of the playoffs. If you got to predict who's coming out of each conference.
I'm just sad that Toronto hasn't put up more of a fight because they looked phenomenal against the Nets. They looked almost unbeatable. Yeah. And then they haven't been themselves since they started playing Boston. And it's not to take anything away from Boston because Boston's got killers. They got Tatum. They got
Kemba.
Kemba, yeah, they got Tatum, Kemba, they got Jaylen Brown. Like, they got a squad. And it's not like that. It's just the way Toronto's been playing, I just expected more.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. I think they play tonight it's either tonight. I don't know. I got to look at that as well. But, I mean, they better put up soon because they're not going to have a choice. They're going to have a chance to do anything else.
They really won't. I think Boston will probably win the series. I really hope that the Heat win the series. I've been a ride or die Heat fan since the playoffs started because I just love Tyler Hero. I love Bam. I love Jimmy Buckets. So I've been a ride or die Heat fan since the playoffs started. So I think the Heat can probably squeak that out. And then, I mean, Denver could do it, but I don't see him doing it, especially if PG can play to his actual potential instead of looking like pandemic P.
Yeah, which it did look like he was starting to come back around the last couple of games of that series.
Yeah.
If he plays well, I'm sticking with my prediction that they're going to win the NBA title. I just think they have way too much depth. They play way too good a defense. Yes.
I think that kind of depends on who comes out of the East. I mean, I think that in a seven-game series, I think they could probably best the Lakers, which hurts me to say because, I mean, I love LeBron now. I used to hate LeBron when he was in Cleveland and Miami. I just like him now because I just feel like he's basically just telling everybody to F off. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's just like, I'm doing what I'm doing.
Well, see, I've always loved LeBron, and I hate the Lakers. So, it's kind of a
– Yeah, it's a double-edged sword for you.
Yeah. I hope he just kills and they lose. That's just my thing, is he just does everything to where no one can really say anything because they can see that he's doing everything and they just lose. Because I can't stand the Lakers, and I'll never cheer for the Lakers.
I was watching one of the Lakers versus Portland games, and – I don't remember which one it was. Probably one of the first three. KCP was 0-for. Danny Green missed like 14 shots. I was like, what are they doing? Danny Green's been
pretty much the entire playoffs.
I know, which is insane. How much money did they spend on him?
Too much.
I saw a meme that said, somebody looking for a robber, Danny Green. He took their money and isn't doing anything.
KCP's worse, though. I mean, that dude had – I think his best game is 10 points in the playoffs.
That's insane.
And with how much money that guy makes, man, it's so your prediction, who's coming out of the East, who's coming out of the West?
Out of the East, I think it'll be Boston versus the Heat for the finals, for the conference finals. And I think who's LA gotta play? I don't know, the Clippers gotta play Denver. Mm-hmm. So that means
And the Lakers gotta play
Houston. that Lakers-Houston matchup's hard. But the fact of the matter is, at least in my opinion, is that the Lakers are just too big. So I think it'll be LA versus LA, and then Boston versus Heat.
So who's going to play in the finals?
Well, an LA team's going to play. I think it'll probably. I mean, in a seven-game series, it's hard because I think the Clippers have the longevity for it. With them, I think mainly them being younger. Besides, of course, the AD comparison. AD's still pretty young.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the Clippers will probably best them, and then hopefully it'll be Clippers versus Heat. But Boston, like I said, Boston's been looking good.
So I would have changed it up had it not been the pandemic and had it not gone to where they had to play in the bubble because of the Kobe stuff. I would have taken I would have changed my pick to the Lakers just because I felt like the determination to win for Kobe kind of do that. I would have felt like, but I felt like with that layoff of that much time, I kind of, not to say that it's gone away, that they don't still hurt from it and all that stuff. I just don't think that the determination is as much there as it was before.
I think if they wear those Black Mamba jerseys every game, it might be. That was the game they were on fire.
Yeah, that's true. So you spoke about the Nets playing Toronto in the first round. They made a splash of a hire today.
Yeah, it is.
And hiring Steve Nash, who doesn't have any coaching experience. And I wanted to share Stephen A's comments, and then we'll talk about Stephen A's comments here in just a second. So I'm going to share my screen with you, and then we're going to listen to what he says on that.
Brothers that he has looked out for in the quarter, he was his age over his teammates, and he took money off his plate to make sure Quick Richardson got paid. When he had his man Steve Jackson, his teammate at the time, living with him, he took him in and looked out for him. The respect that he has around the league, his smart, his intelligence, his basketball IQ. Steve Nash is a sensation of dude, and if anybody deserves this opportunity, congratulations to him. He deserves it. I get it. But this ain't about him. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no way. This is white privilege. This does not happen. No experience.
All right, so I'm going to stop it there because you and I talked about this before. And with what we had just spoken about with the stuff with the Black Lives Matter and everything, I'm going to let you comment first, and then I'll give my rebuttal to what Stephen A. said.
I mean, I just don't think that's accurate. Steve Nash is a Hall of Famer. Like, if Steve Nash was black, I feel like they still would give him the job just for who he is.
Yeah.
Like, he's a Hall of Fame point guard. He's got one of the best IQs in the game. Like Stephen A. said, he's mentored Steph. He's mentored other players, and everybody loves him. He checks all the boxes. I don't think his skin tone or color makes a difference in the decision to hire him.
So here's my three arguments. One, you said that this wouldn't happen if he was a black man. I have two examples of that being completely false. One, Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd retires. Jason Kidd retires in – after the 2013 season, the 2013-14 season, he's the head coach of the Brooklyn Nets. No experience as a coach.
None.
Don't argue with that at all. Mark Jackson. You mentioned Steve Kerr. He mentioned Steve Kerr being the head coach of the Warriors, having no experience. Mark Jackson takes over as the coach of the Golden State Warriors, essentially builds them into the empire that they were before Steve Kerr took over with no coaching experience.
No, yeah.
And my third thing here is this was chosen by KD and Kyrie. This was their choice. This was who they wanted to coach them. So I don't understand how you can say this is white privilege when, one, your point is already disproven anyway because you got two guys there in Mark Jackson and Jason Kidd. And third, it's chosen by the players.
Yeah. The two superstars of the team wanted Steve Nash because they know what he brings to the table.
Yeah. So, I mean, you look at that team next year, if he brings that Phoenix type of flair to the Nets, I mean, you have KD and Kyrie coming back. You have
– is DeAndre Jordan coming back?
DeAndre Jordan will be back. Caris LeVert will be back, who absolutely killed in the playoffs.
Yeah,
you have Spencer Dinwiddie, who I believe was hurt during this bubble. So I mean, you have a lot of weapons there.
Who's the big dude with the afro?
Jared Allen. Jared Allen.
I
read Jamal Crawford as well will be there next year.
He got signed on to the team at the end by the bubble.
Yeah. So there's a lot of things there. I think the Nets will go into the season next year being the favorite, barring something happening in Milwaukee. Because if Giannis stays, I think you kind of had to keep them as the favorite in the East.
I'd say right now, if they lose to the Heat, Giannis is out.
I would probably agree with that because this is looking a lot like the first time when LeBron was in Cleveland, when LeBron's playing well and no one else around him is really playing well.
Mm-hmm.
And not to say that – but here's the difference, I will say, though, between the Cleveland team back then and this Milwaukee team. He's actually getting people that are good around him. Chris Middleton's no slouch. Eric Bledsoe's no slouch. Brooke Lopez is no slouch. I'm not going to count Kyle Korver. Kyle Korver's 40 years old, and, I mean, he's a suspect defender, and he hits threes. That's great, but, I mean – you got Bledsoe, you got Middleton, you got Brooke Lopez. This team, there's no reason this team should be down 2-0.
They shouldn't be.
At best, it should be 1-1. Mm-hmm. I mean, game one, you give them that, but there's no reason they should have come out in game two and played the way they did.
But I saw some people saying, where was the foul? Where was the foul? You can clearly see in the video.
Are you talking about on Jimmy Butler? Oh, that was absolutely a foul.
Yeah, you can clearly see in the video Giannis just pushing.
Yeah, I mean,
midair.
You see, Giannis was never arguing the foul. Giannis was just upset that it happened.
On Twitter, people on Facebook, people were like, "Well, where's the foul?" And I think that was one of the reporters, like when they showed the the replay of it, and it was, I don't know if it was Molly or what show I was watching, but she was like, "Well, where's the foul?" I was like, "It's right there."
Well, that's what I always kind of look at, man. You see people get upset about a foul, and, you know, I've been upset about fouls and stuff. Referees make mistakes. It happens. I always look at the player that supposedly committed the foul or committed the – see how they react. Sometimes you got players like Andre Iguodala who never commits a foul, and every time he does anything, Andre Iguodala is like never does anything wrong. Some people say LeBron's like that.
Yeah, I mean, LeBron can be like that. But you got people like Kyle Lowry who flop it whenever they get touched.
Yeah.
So that's the hard
– But that's what I try to do is I try to give the person the benefit of the doubt whenever I'm watching them. And you could see it in Giannis's face. He was just upset that he did it. He wasn't upset that they called it. He was just upset that they did it.
Yeah.
So
it's horrible. Did you see the end of the Houston OKC game?
Yeah, I don't want to hear anything about James Harden not playing defense anymore.
That was the best defensive game he's ever had in his life.
Well, what's funny is I was watching it. I was playing some Xbox last night, and I was like, oh, I had it up on my laptop. And I was like, well, I'm going to flip it over on the TV so I can watch it in real time. And I said that to my buddies when he got the block. I said, I don't want to hear anything about James Harden. And then the guy on there was like, I don't want to hear anything about James Harden. I was like, is he in here? Like, what's going on?
Saying?
I literally said those exact words. Which is funny, man, because I don't know. I
just wanted CP3 to pull it out.
I don't. I can't stand that guy. That dude is the biggest turd sandwich in the NBA, man. I like talk about a guy like people keep talking about how dirty Marcus Morris is. Go back and look at stuff that CP3 has done. He's punched multiple people in the groin, and I cannot stand Chris Paul. I will never argue his talent. I will never not say he's good, but I cannot stand Chris Paul as a person.
As a person.
as a person, deep down, I can never cheer for that guy. And it sucks because when he first came out, I loved him. Because when you first hear about Chris Paul, you hear about him scoring 62 for his grandpa, which was the year – which was how many years his grandpa was alive and airballed a free throw on purpose so he didn't score over the amount that his grandpa was alive. And it's like, man, you really like this guy. And you see him at Wake Forest and he's balling out. And then he punches Julius Hyzer in the balls. And it's like, all right, I don't really like this guy anymore. And then he does it again in the NBA. I don't remember who he did it to in the NBA, but he did it again in the NBA. I can't get behind a nut puncher.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. It's completely understandable.
So, I mean, that's really all I got, man. Would you got anything else for me? You got anything else you want to bring up?
I mean, do you watch hockey? I don't watch hockey. I'm just kidding. I don't want to bring that up. I don't really have much anything else that I would like to, you know, discuss or say or anything besides the fact of you think the Dark Knight is worthless, and I don't agree with you.
I do. I think it's the most overrated movie of all time.
You're wrong. It's okay to be wrong.
It is, and I'm glad that you admit that you're wrong.
No, I'm saying that you're wrong.
No, I've said it in the past that I know that I'm in the minority on that, but I will die on that hill. The Dark Knight was way too long, and that Christian Bale's voice was absolutely terrible in that movie, and it made it unbearable as a movie.
I'll give you the fact that Christian Bale's voice is a little obnoxious, but I don't think it was that long. I mean, what? all the Lord of the Rings and all the Harry Potters are long. You know what I'm saying?
Never seen any of the Harry Potters, but I do love the Lord of the Rings. So I'll give you the Lord of the Rings, but
they're all 3 hours.
Yeah,
all of them.
Yeah, but at least they're
action-packed. You watch the whole trilogy, that's a day gone.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing.
You want to watch the trilogy don't you even. If you want to watch the Dark Knight trilogy, you still got some of your day left.
How much? I mean, the first one was – see, here's the thing, man, because it's not really, like, known as being – the first one was awful. It was way worse than The Dark Knight. But that one's not known as, like, one of the best movies ever, like Dark Knight is, so I don't say anything about that one. I turned the first one off. I thought that was so boring. I couldn't even get through it. It was so bad.
I liked it. It was good. Did you see the third one?
I didn't waste my time.
You need to see the third one.
I figured,
you got to at least finish it out.
I'm not going to waste that much time of my life on something I know I'm going to dislike. Because even if I like it, I probably won't ever tell anybody. Because I'm not even going to do that to myself to where I'll have to
hold that burden deep down.
Yeah, yeah. So where I won't be able to tell anybody, I actually like this movie. I don't know, man. I couldn't get over his voice. I thought that I thought Joker was fantastic. I thought they could have just introduced Two-Face in a different movie instead of bringing him in and muddying up the water, in my opinion. I don't know. I just think there was so much with that story. And people were like, well, his voice was like that because he was Batman. And he had – the dude's jumping off buildings and living through explosions, and you're worried about him worrying about people recognizing his voice? Come on now. Like, that's a dumb argument to me, which you didn't make that argument, but I've had other people make that argument.
No, I mean, that's a fair argument to have on your side. Like, Spider-Man doesn't hide his voice, you know? He's just under a whole mask. Same thing with Superman.
Doesn't even wear a mask. just puts on glasses. And people were just all like, oh, man, who's this guy? Like, that people don't know.
That was the worst quote-unquote disguise ever in the history of comics.
Yeah. So, man, I appreciate you coming on. I have to get you on here one day with BJ, and you guys can talk UFC, and I'll just sit here and watch.
Oh, yeah, that'd be awesome.
Because I don't know enough about UFC to be able to have a full-length
step your game up, baby.
And there's so much stuff that I get into, man, that it's tough to have that much. Like, BJ is extremely, extremely intelligent when it comes to UFC stuff, and he'll bring up people that I have no idea he's talking about. Same with you. Don't know.
I'm sure me and him would have a conversation, and we'd talk back and forth, and you'd be like, "You're speaking German to me, man."
You guys would just nerd out, which I love. I love hearing people nerd out about things because it's like they're passionate.
Speaking about nerding out, I'm gonna go ahead and plug my band real quick. I'm in a band, Annapurna. Go ahead, if you listen to this podcast or watch this podcast, go ahead and check us out on all streaming services.
I think we might not be on the Google one, whatever that one is.
Why don't you spell it for everybody so they know how to spell it?
Yeah, A-N-N-A-P-U-R-N-A, Annapurna.
There you go. You guys got any new music coming out soon?
We have a new song coming out relatively shortly. We just haven't put a release date on it. We just got back the final copy of it.
Was so that what you sent me the other day?
Yeah, a little taste of it, yeah. We'll wrap that up, package it all nice and neat, and then we'll put it out to the public.
Nice, nice. By the way, you need to get on Michael. He's supposed to be sponsoring the podcast soon. So that's how everybody that knows Michael, that's how I met John. John is very good friends with Michael. Mm-hmm. Trying to get him to sponsor the podcast. He says he wants to. We just got to get it where he's not busy all the time.
Yeah, I mean that's his life right now. Putting that mac and cheese, slanging that mac. You know,
and look, you can speak on it too, because I'm sure you've had it. And I tell everybody, it's not just because he's basically my younger brother. That stuff is phenomenal.
Yeah, it's good. It's really good. especially that barbecue sauce that I don't know if they hand make or not, but that they put that on there with the chicken. Oh my God, it's so good.
I mean, everything that I've tried from it, I've only not tried the Rosen Mac. That's the only one I haven't tried.
That Rosen Mac is fire. One time we were, I don't know if, I think it was actually the opening that they had at the Dragon's Den Cafe place in Salisbury. Mm-hmm. But Tess sent me and Tara home with a little Togo thing of Rosen Mac. And we got, you know, we were hungry that night and heated it up. And it was, I didn't want to get it. I didn't know what it was. But we ate it and it was fire. It was like some ziti, but better.
I'll have to check it out then, man. I'm just not a huge fan of red sauce normally. That's something red sauce I'm normally no-go on with things, but I'll have to check it out.
I've tried all this really stuff.
Good. I appreciate you taking some time out. I know you just had a kid recently, so anytime you can take out and join me, man, I appreciate it.
No, not a problem at all, Brandon. I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely, man. I'll talk to you later on. Have a good one.
All right, brother. Yeah, you too, brother.
Later.